As we stand, can we just look into our heart quietly? And it helps when we close our eyes. And just ask one thing. Is there any area of your life that you have not surrendered to God? And if there is, can you just take a moment to surrender to Him? That fully surrendered. Let God be the leader of your life. You'd be just surprised and amazed what He can do for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Yes. At this time, we are going to send off our children and the teachers and volunteers with a warm blessing, right? Let them have a great time. Yeah, come on. All right, there you go. Ooh, we got so many children today here. I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm so glad you guys are here. I want us to give a big hand to our youth. One of the things that I've seen in this couple of weeks or months is that our youth are sitting in front, enjoying the sermon. And I am so glad that you guys are a big part of it. So let's give our youth a big hand. Yeah. Yeah. Before I go into my sermon, I want to let you know that I am very encouraged by many of you who fasted with us for a month, from January the 1st to today. And today is the last day. And I know you can eat your meat tomorrow. Hoo-hoo! Yeah? Don't overdo it, though, right? When I was in Seattle, on the last day of our conference, we went to eat in a Chinese restaurant. Okay, and when we went in there, it was like a 10-course meal. Okay, all meat. And just keep coming on the table, one after another. They started with seafood deep in hot sauce. And then they brought out duck, you know? People are eating, I'm looking at the duck. They brought out beef. They brought out chicken. You know, just meat. It's a 10-course meal. I'm just sitting there and watching them. It was very hard because we were not eating meat and fasting. And I say, I'm not eating meat, they brought me a bowl of white rice. So it was a good experience. I know it was hard for many of you, but the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has blessed our church. If you have time, go read the Celebrate. I have written where I feel that God is leading our church. And I would like all of you to journey together and pray together. So I'm excited, very excited. Now, today is the last of the series on our code, on our genetic code, spiritual DNA. And it's a code number 5, what our church should be like. And that is Christ-like service. Today is Christ-like service. Can we say Christ-like service? Yes, Christ-like service. I feel that there is no better service in this world other than Christ-like service. I feel that Christ-like service is the best service that we can ever offer to somebody. No. This week, let me do this here. So I was talking to Siri and say, I want to go to a Baptist church.
Which Baptist church? Tap the one you want.
And then there's so many Baptist church, and Santa Clara First Baptist Church is on top. I'm sorry, if we have a video or a camera, they can zoom in here and you'll be up there on the screen. Don't you think you would like that? Yes or like no or yeah. No? Yeah. Yeah, I just need $12,000 to work that with Jerry. So thank you. Thank you. But one of the things that Siri does is that it anticipates my need. See? So when I say I want to go to a Baptist church, Siri has anticipated my needs and gave me all the list of this Baptist church that I can go to. Right? So, how can we give the best service to other people? Is that when we anticipate the needs of other people, then we can give a best service to them. So you're not reacting to what people need. For example, let's say a new family walks into the church. If you don't anticipate their need, you're going to react to how they need, what they need. And so when we react, it's not the best service. But if we anticipate our need, what do you think they will need? If they come in, if I was at the front door, I would say, oh, this is our bathroom. And you show them where the bathroom is. Don't assume anything. This is our kids' bathroom. This is our men's bathroom. This is our ladies' bathroom. Oh, and then this is our sign-up, computer sign-up registration, where you can sign in your kids and get a name tag. And then, do you want me to walk with you to the nursery or to the kids' zone, to the snack zone? If they're open, do you want me to sit with you during the worship if they're open? That is giving service. That is giving service to other people that come here. You're anticipating their need already. You're not just there and walk in and look at the people, oh, I think those people are new. You know? They don't know where to go. I think they're looking for a bathroom. I wonder whether they know where the nursery is. I wonder whether they know where the kids' zone is, where the snack zone is, and you're just standing there and doing nothing. That's not a good service. That's not a good service. But when you anticipate, like Siri, and give a choice of here, this is who our church is. Right? So, I was asked to do a wedding, this was in Michigan, so I can say it here now. And I was dressed like this. I took out my jacket, and I had to get my jacket somewhere because it was hot, and I was wearing the white shirt, white pants, and a black tie. I don't have a tie here. And I'm ready, getting ready at the reception to do something, and I look toward a corner, and the bride's mom, she was calling me like this, you know? And she's out of town. She doesn't know that I'm the pastor at the church. So I went there, and I think she's been a little bit, you know? And she said, can you go get me more drinks? I said, yeah, I would love to, but I'm about to do a program. It's my program, right? So just give me a second. And I stood up and did my thing. And I prayed and I blessed the couple. And I wanted to go back to her and say, no, can I get you the drink now? But that would be a little awkward, so I walked away. But be willing to serve at any time to anybody. Right? Because I look like a server anyway. I mean, in restaurant, this is how people look like. Don't you think? I mean, black pant, white shirt. I look like somebody that would serve. And we are here to serve. All of us are here to serve. You're not here to be served. So are we giving the best service to the people that comes to our church? Let me put it this way. Are the members of Santa Clara First Baptist Church giving the best service to the people that comes to our church? When was the last time you served somebody? Even when we say we're going to give greatest service, it's very vague. You got to narrow it down to I'm going to walk somebody to the bathroom and show where the bathroom is. That's a good service. I'll stand at the door there as a greeter, ushers. It doesn't matter even if I'm not a greeter or an usher. If a family is looking for a nursery, I'm willing there to walk with them across that play yard and show them where the room is. That is a great service. How do you serve in this church? How are you giving the best service in this church? So I'm talking more to the member. And if you're visiting here for the first time, this is our goal, that we'll provide the best service to people in this city. That we will serve God by serving other people. That's going to be our spiritual DNA. Christ-like service. Christ-like service. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we should not react to the need of others. We should anticipate their need and give the service to others. You know, what are your attitudes toward members? What's your attitude toward visitors that come to our church? Are you saying, oh, welcome, I am so glad you are here, or here she comes again? I mean, what's your attitude? So the first thing that I want to share is Christ-like service, proportioned service, and solitude. Okay? The first point is Christ-like service, proportions, service, and solitude. Now, we're coming to this because I had mentioned to you that when I was praying before I came to Santa Clara, God gave me a direction from the scripture, from the letter to Philadelphia. It says, I have set you an open door. I have set you an open door. From Revelation 3. I have set you an open door, and no one can shut it. God has set an open door for our church. What are we going to do with that open door? And what I'm saying and proposing to our church is that we should give a Christ-like service because the door is open. We should provide the best service to people that come here. And the first point that I want to say is Christ-like service, proportion, service, and solitude. It means Christian life balances service and spending time with God. Spending time with God. Your service is flowing out of spending time with the Lord. When you do a lot of texting or SMS, they used to have this short word, you know, like, so I put a hashtag up there. Right? TBH. What's TBH, older people here? Huh? You're not older people. You're a young guy, right? So to be honest, hashtag, no fruit without Christ. No fruit without Christ. You're not going to bear any fruit without Christ. The Word of God says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So, if we are going to give Christ-like service to others, you have to proportion your service with solitude. It means you're not just serving, but you're spending time with God, and out of your time with the Lord, your service is flowing from His strength. Your service is flowing from His strength. No fruit without Christ. You cannot bear fruit without Christ. Your service will not bear fruit without Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Our best service flows from the grace of God. When Jesus... So Christ-like service. So let's look at Jesus. So in Luke 15 verse 6, he has healed a leper. person with leprosy. He has done many signs and wonders, right? And people are getting to hear what he has done. And what did he do? Instead of sitting around there and talking and say, hey, look what I did. What did he do? He went to a quiet place. He withdrew to a quiet place to go and pray. Eh? He did a great thing, service. And what did he do immediately? He withdrew himself to go and pray, to spend time with his father. Look at that. In John 6:15, he had done great and mighty things, so the crowd came and they want him to crown him the king. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, for us? For you and I? They said, this will be our Messiah, this will be our king. Even the disciples, oh yeah, you're the king that we've been waiting for. This is good, Christ. Take the crown. No, what did he do? He withdrew himself and spent time with his father. He healed the withered hand. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law. So many people were healed and the crowd gathered. And what did he do? He withdrew himself and went and prayed. He fed the 4,000 people. Two incidents, there are 5,000 and 4,000, okay? So, what did he do after he fed those people? He withdrew himself and went to spend time with God. See, Christ-like service, his ministry flows from spending time with the Father. His strength comes from spending time with the Father. He's not just serving, go, go, go. He's not standing on public popularity. He was not looking for that. He was serving because God has asked him to serve after his will. If we are just on the go, 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 go without spending time with the Father, that's not a Christ-like service. You're doing it on your own strength and you will not bear fruit. If we want to offer a Christ-like service to people that come here, we have to spend time with the Father, listen to Him, listen to His directions, and then offer the service accordingly to the people that are here. Then you will see it bear fruit. And that will be the greatest service that you can offer to somebody. Are you too busy serving the Lord that you have no time for Him? Are you too busy serving God that you have no time for Him? If we are too busy serving God and we don't have time for Him, we are not giving the greatest service. We're doing it on our own strength. And then we ask Him, Lord, why didn't I see any fruit? Then he said, without me, you can bear nothing. We can do nothing. Jesus was like-minded with the Father. He did whatever he asked him to do. You know, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. You be like-minded. You be like-minded with Christ. Jesus was not too busy serving the Father to spend time with Him. And if our leader, our Savior, is not too busy to spend time with the Father, how much more do we need to do that to serve other people? Can we serve better than Jesus? Can you give the service better than Jesus to others? For me, He is an absolute model of Christ-like service. If we can serve like Jesus to other people, we have done our job of serving. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out of the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 6:12. He had done great things. People wanted to see him, talk to him. He didn't linger around to receive their applause. He went to spend time with the Father. Our service must come from the grace of God. Our service must come from spending time with the Father. How are you doing on that? How are we doing on spending time with God? Are you too busy to spend time with the Father? We give this towel to new members. It says here to serve. Right? It says here to serve. And that brings me to the second point, that Christ-like service provides service with a servant heart. You can use this towel in so many ways. When we give it to you, you can do it this way, right? So is this here to serve? No, you want to be served. You're ready to eat. You're here to eat. You're not here to serve. But you could take this and put it here too. And you're here to serve. So how is our attitude? I mean, Christ-like service is meant to have a servant heart. But if we all come here to be served, then we're not serving anybody. I encourage First Baptist Church members that we serve one another. Not just head knowledge. Truly serve one another. The moment you come into the parking lot, you are ready to serve. If you know a new person driving around there in the parking lot, you stop and say, "Are you looking for this church? Let me walk you into it. This is our bathroom. This is our nursery. This is our life group. This is our church office. This is our sanctuary." That's service. Servant heart. You know, Christian life is a life of service. I was coming to Santa Clara, San Jose, and I took the flight from Fort Wayne. And I had to stop in Chicago to catch another flight. As I was waiting to be boarded in Fort Wayne, there was a dock. It's a, what do you call the dock that those train and help people? Service docks? Service docks, thank you. And the service dock came and gentlemen came. And I watched him. I was working in my computer, sermon to come and preach here. And we boarded, and I went in first, and I'm sitting there right in front. And the gentleman came with the dog, and he's going to sit beside me. So I said, "Yeah, come on in." And the dog was very good, just curled up right there, sat with him. For a couple of minutes, we didn't talk. But after a few minutes, we started having conversation because this guy is blind. I found out that he works with the Big Three in Detroit, the Big Three, the automobile, right? Ford and Chevy, and he was one of the guy. And something happened that he went blind, and now, as we kept talking, I found out that he's a life coach. He's talking to companies and training them on leadership. And he goes around and in consulting and talking to CEOs and giving talking on leadership and life coach. I'm saying, "Oh wow, this is definitely going somewhere more than I thought, you know." So we were having this great conversation on leadership, sharing ideas and principles. I was very excited. And just before we land, we had about 10 minutes, I guess, I say, "So, what is one quality that a leader should have so that the company succeed?" Without even thinking, he said, "Humility." And "Are you saying humility?" He said, "Yeah. Like in a company? A CEO in a company in the world?" "Yes. A leader that has humility, they will succeed. This is what I found out in my training, in my life." That is so Christian. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. And I said, oh, wow, that is very deep and spiritual. And I was reminded of the scripture that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you have to be a servant of all. Then you have to be a slave of all. This principle that works in the company, in the world, we are so apologetic in the church, you know? People are teaching Christian principles openly out there so that the company succeed. And we are very careful about not offending people by talking about humility. Somewhere we have got it wrong. And the world's getting it right. Leadership, to be honest, TBH, right? Hashtag, leadership is service. You can define leadership by the word service. A leader who serves is a good leader. Everything about Christ is service. His life is service. He did it the best way. How did he do it? He washed the feet of his disciples. For me, that's wow. That's leadership defined in service, that he would stoop down and wash the feet of his disciples. And this guy, who is blind, gets that. And he's telling me that the leader must have humility if he wants his company to succeed. Isn't that what Christ tells us? You want Santa Clara First Baptist Church to grow, to have a presence in this city? What must we do? We have to have humility. We have to be humble. So if you're coming here every Sunday like this, then we are not going anywhere. Then we started saying, oh, I want hymns. I want choruses. I want to sing 4 songs. I want to sing 5 songs. I want to sit. I want to stand. We want to be served. There's one reason why you come to this church every Sunday. That is to worship God. And if you're coming here for anything else, we have to go back home and ask in our heart, why am I following the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to provide the best service to whoever who comes here in this city. We want to provide the best service. We got to start serving. Are you with me, church? Yes, we got to start serving. That should be our DNA. We are not predisposed to serve. We are predisposed to be served. But we can change the culture. And our spiritual DNA should be to serve. To serve. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he has girded. John 13, verse 5. We serve God best when we serve in humility. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of the mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Jesus did not promote self-gratification, but service out of gratitude. He did not promote gratification. You're not serving God so you can sleep better in the night. No. You're not going to some homeless people and give some food so you can sleep better at night. You're not giving clothes to the homeless. You're not going to Africa. You're not going to India, South America. You're not giving the money and writing the paycheck so you can sleep better at night. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's everything about God. and what He asks of us. And if we're doing and serving for self-gratification, let us go to grace and gratitude and serve God out of gratitude. This will bring me to the third point. Super Bowl next Sunday. And you can see the picture there. What's that picture on the screen? It's a water boy. Right? Nobody talks about the water boy. They talk about the quarterback. They talk about Peyton Manning, Cam Newton. They will talk about the receiver. They will talk about the best defense. Nobody ever talks about the water boy. Right? Do you know any water boy's name? Adam Sandler. But Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, all the players, you know what is one thing that they need? Water. They can't play without water. In fact, they will die without water. That water boy is very important for the championship. The water boy comes running with the water, you know, squirting it, giving talk. He's running there. And the players are sometimes tangled, grab the water, throw it away there, you know, throw the towel. They don't care. I'm just a water boy for Jesus. I am just a water boy. Jesus is my coach. He's my head coach. If he tells me to bring water to that guy, I do that. So if the mother-in-law calls me like this, I need a drink, I better give a drink to her. I'm there to serve. That brings me to the third point. Christ-like service, perform service selflessly. To be honest, # selfish gain is not service. If you're serving with a motive, it's not service. In Peter, it's written to pastor like me. It says, if you're shepherding with selfish gain, monetary gain, that's not being a good pastor. That's not being a good service. You serve selflessly. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving the overseers not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain and eagerly. Jesus did not encourage entitlement. He did not encourage entitlement. Do you know that entitlement produces entitlement? Entitlement empowers entitlement. If we are entitled Christian, we're going to produce entitled Christians here. Our youth are going to look at me, and if I'm so entitled, they're going to grow up just like me, entitled, waiting to be served, sharpening the knife, sitting at the table to be served. I do not want my sons to grow up with entitlement. I want them to serve in humility, knowing that God is graceful enough to save them and give them eternal life. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:4-5. Do you walk in entitlement, or do you model servitude? You know people that are so entitled, right? People say, oh, the X generations are the worst, and now millennials are the worst, you know? It's like they're so entitled to everything. The me generation. There's a great reward when we serve selflessly. And the Gospel of Luke said this, that when the master comes and he finds his servant watching and serving, do you know what it says? It says, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. This is the best. If you serve selflessly, if you serve like a servant, if you serve out of the grace and solitude of God, one of these days, your Savior, your Lord, your leader, he's going to sit down and serve you. Serve you. For me, there's no greater reward than that. That our God will serve us. That our God will serve you. Because we have served selflessly. As we end with fasting and prayer, my prayer is that Santa Clara First Baptist Church will be known for Christ-like service in this city. How do we know that? You know, how do we serve? You will know where to serve. Maybe serving with the youth on Friday night, calling them to the house and just spending time with them. Or it could be installing an art in San Jose, the Peep Show with Jonathan. You know, those kids, they don't have a name and a face. You're serving a faceless, nameless kids. Jonathan is having favor from the city, the mayor, the DA, not just in this city, but nationally for the human trafficking Peep Show. And he is from our family. He is from this church. And he has been asking us to pray for the anointing, safeguarding. And he is calling you, First Baptist Church, to say, can you come and pray with me tomorrow? Yes, there is an opening, February the 1st, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Can you come and pray with me? It's a great opportunity for Santa Clara First Baptist Church to make a presence in the city. That we are here to serve the faceless, nameless kids. Don't you think so? It's a great suffering. You're serving the nursery every Sunday. You're serving snacks every Sunday. You're serving sound, running slides every Sunday. It's service. We put all these things together, and it works together for the kingdom of God. I'm going to call the worship team to come and serve us as we get ready to sing the song and worship him. I pray Santa Clara First Baptist Church will be known for Christ-like service, that we are giving the best service to everyone who comes to this church, that one day our Lord and our Savior, our Master, will come and sit down at your table, take the towel that is girded, that he used in washing the feet, in the same way that he will serve you. Let's be on our feet and worship God Almighty for what he has done for us.